All right, so we were looking at Hebrews. So let's read Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1 to 6. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, or the people of the old days. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So basically, what is seen was made from what was invisible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous, when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel speaks today, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So what we did last week is we explained faith. Is this okay, or do you want me to change mics? Is it all right now? Okay. So what we did last week is we explained what faith is. And faith is pretty simply this: it's trusting God. Right? That's what it is. It's trusting God. Whenever Jesus talks about faith, and we're going to just recap Mark chapter 5 from last week. Whenever Jesus talks about faith in the Bible, and he says, oh, you have great faith, or you have no faith, or do you still not have faith? It's simply explained as this. It's him saying to the person, oh, you trusted God, well done, or why are you still unable to trust? And so when we look at it that way, it takes it away from the whole faith stigma, where people are like, well, you just need more faith, or oh, you don't have enough faith situation. And we realize that when Jesus is talking to people, he's saying, hey, you trusted, and you put the action to the trusting, well done, there's a reward to it. So as we recap, we jump back into, I'm just going to paraphrase for you, we jump back into Mark chapter 5, remember Jesus is walking with Jairus, the guy from the temple whose daughter's dying. They're walking to his house, there's a multitude of people around him, they're pressing him, they're touching him, but some lady touches him, and Jesus feels power come out of him, and so he's looking for her. He finds her and he says to her, well, she realizes that she's been found out, so she falls down and she said, I said to myself, if I can just touch your garment, if I can just touch your clothes, I will be healed. And then Jesus, so she obviously gets healed. She's been struggling with bleeding issues for 12 years. Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. And what we looked at with that was him saying, you could have still been in your bed, but you didn't stay in your bed. You got out of your bed. You got dressed. You probably had she's probably anemic, 12 years she's been bleeding. And he's like, well done. You got off your bed. You came through the crowd. You pushed through the crowd. You went through everybody and you touched my garment. And because you did that, you healed. So he said, your faith has healed you. Your action has healed you. Your belief caused action and your belief has got a result. He wasn't saying that she healed herself, right? And that's where we get a misunderstanding. It's so simple. You need a degree to confuse you. Amen. And so it's so simple. God, Jesus just says to her, he says, listen, man, you well done. You know, you believed right. You got off your bed. You came. You touched me. And as a result, your action has a result, which is you are healed. So good for you. Off you go. Right. So we went through that. That's an explanation of that. So today, I think we've covered what we want to cover there. Faith comes by hearing. Remember, we said as well last week, just to recap, that faith comes by hearing the same way that fear comes by hearing. I gave the explanation of when I phoned my mom and she said, it's important just to recap this so we don't lose all this. Last week, I gave the explanation. I said, I phoned my mom. She said to me, hey, boy, did you hear that somebody down the road killed their neighbor with a hammer? And I'm like, whoa. And they live in a small holiday kind of village in South Africa, which never has any crime. And as soon as I heard it, what happened is fear tried to get in me. Like, are you okay? Are you safe? Are you and dad okay? Did they arrest them? Why? Because now I'm worrying, right? Fear comes by hearing. I heard and my heart got anxious. The same is with faith. Faith comes by hearing. When you hear, your heart is built up, right? Your belief, basically faith is a weird word. Your belief is built up. The more you hear about Jesus and what he's done, and that's what the woman had with the woman with the issue of blood. She had heard. So she had heard he's healing people. So she's thinking, well, if he can heal them, he can heal me, right? If he can do it for them, he can do it for me. If he does it for them, he'll do it for me. No jokes. If he's doing it for them, he can do it for me. Maybe if he touched that person and they got healed, maybe if I touch him, I'll get healed. So she heard about him. It built her belief up, her trust in God. She goes out, and it makes a difference. Amen. And so this is where faith comes by hearing. So when people come up to you, they say, well, you know, just pray that I might have more faith. Well, the best thing to say is, okay, I'll pray for you, but how about you go and spend time hearing the word? Because that will lift your faith up. Right, now we get on today's stuff. So today, I really want to focus on understanding and how to apply it in my life. Right? How to apply this in my life. And as we do that, you know, just remember, we were in Mark 5, Mark 6, after Mark 5, of all these mighty miracles, Mark 6, Jesus goes, he goes to his hometown in Nazareth, and the Bible says he could do no mighty miracles there except or save to lay hands on a few people and heal them. And he marveled at their unbelief, right? He marveled at their lack of belief, that they did not have belief. And so we saw from that if unbelief can hinder you from receiving from God, well then belief can help you. So we're going to be believers. Amen. We're going to believe. Now, the book of Daniel. Let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 10. Granted, this is in a different time and era. This is going back a long way. The book of Daniel is kind of just after all the prophets. It's just after Ezekiel, then you get the book of Daniel. So the book of Daniel chapter 10, what's happened with Daniel is everybody knows Daniel in the lion's den, right? We heard about it in Sunday school, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel's friends were thrown into a fiery furnace and God delivered them. Daniel was thrown to a den of lions and God comes and shuts the mouths of the lions. And so all of this has transpired and Daniel is still, he's still in Babylon. He's excelled, he's an administrational genius. And he's excelled under all the different kings and all the different leaders. And finally, Cyrus is king, who's, he's now king. So he's taken over from a whole bunch of other kings after Nebuchadnezzar, because you'll remember Nebuchadnezzar. So now Cyrus is king, and we start reading in chapter 10. It says in verse 12. We'll start reading in verse 12. So Daniel, what's happened is Daniel is 3 weeks he's been praying. Come on. 3 weeks he's been praying, he's been fasting, he's been repenting for him and for Israel. He's been praying and he's been fasting for 3 weeks. All of a sudden, an angel appears to him. You with me? The angel appears to him. An angel Gabriel appears to him. And he explains what the angel looks like. He's got like a face like lightning. He's got eyes like fire. He's amazing, right? All of us would love to see Gabriel, right? So he sees Gabriel, but he falls down and he's terrified. And all his friends run away because they don't see it, but they just get scared. And then in verse 12, then the angel continued. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard on the first day. From the first day. Since the first day that you set your heart to God and you prayed this prayer and you sought God, from the first day your prayer was heard. And I have come in response to them, to what? Your words. I've come in response to your words. But, now here comes the but. But the prince... The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, One of the chief princes, or another angel, we know he's the angel more on the warring side, came to help me because I was detained there by the king of Persia. Now, this isn't a literal king. This is some demonic force or stronghold over Persia. Had somehow, now, I mean, I don't know too much detail about this, but this is in here for a reason. And we can see that there's some kind of delay in the answer coming. You see it? So he prays, it says, Gabriel says, your prayer was heard the first day. I was sent because of what you asked. But I was detained for 21 days to bring your answer. I was detained by the prince, by it seems like some demonic stronghold over Persia. And he says, I was detained there for 21 days until Michael came and set me free. And Michael, and then I could come here now. And so this kind of gives us an idea that sometimes there's a delay, right? And that's what believing is. Really, faith or believing, trusting God is always related to us needing something. You read all the times when Jesus says, you have great faith, you have no faith, you have wonderful faith. Whenever he says that to people, it's always because they have a need and they're asking, they're praying, right? So here, Daniel is praying. He gets heard the first day. And it takes a period of time for him to get there. Amen? So it takes time for him to get there. So that is because it takes time for it to go from our request to actually being manifest in our lives and that we can see it. Okay? So now, this leads us into my favorite scripture. For this year, if you forget everything else, you'll remember Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, the persistent widow. Okay, I got another 5 minutes or so before I'm done. So, this leads us into the persistent widow. So, I'm actually going to read the first line of Luke 18. And if you forget everything else I've said, and then hopefully I'll tie it together. Okay, so Luke 18. Says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He says, here's a parable to show you should always pray and not give up. Okay, so there's going to be opportunity to give up. Right? And then he explains a persistent widow. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people or what they thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice for my adversary. And so it goes on. She comes back and she asks him over and over again. In fact, in the passage, when you're reading, you see that he actually fears for his life. He says, I'm going to give this thing to her, lest she come and attack me. Right? And so what she does is she persists continuously. Please help me. Please. Now, I've got to give you an example of that. I once was so dumb. I bought a Great Dane. And this massive dog, I got it as kind of like a puppy, but still like a miniature horse, right? And I got this dog, and she was a Merlequin, which means that they're white, and they got your gray spots and the black spots, and she had one blue eye and one other color. She's beautiful to look at, right? I was bewildered by her beauty. And I bought her, and I took her home. And so I figured, that's okay, I'll train this dog. So, of course, South Africa's hot, and, you know, it's not like here where you all have indoor dogs. So there's a time the dog's indoor and the time the dog's outside. So it comes to the outside time, and I put her out. And she's at the back door. And so she starts like, howling, okay, and scratching the door. Now, it's, you know, one of those thick doors, like an external door. So she's scratching the door and howling. I'm figuring, okay, this is fine. I'll wear this girl out, no problem. Like, there's no ways she's going to wear me down. There's no ways. An hour goes by. I figure, okay, she must be getting to the end of her rope. She's just amping it up. Okay. Finally, I go outside, and it looks like a bear has been attacking the door. Their claw marks, okay, I mean, her nails have indented the door. I'm like, I have to replace this door because it was a rental unit. Like, I'm going to have to do something with this door. She's ripping this door apart. She's out. So then I figure, okay, I'm going to discipline this dog. I'm going to strangle her. So I go outside, and the dog takes off. And so I try and get her, and she thinks it's a game. So she takes, now she's on the run. And I'm chasing her, you know, and she thinks, okay, this is wonderful. I'm thinking, I'm going to kill you. I tell you, if I get you, I'm going to strangle. I'm just kidding. I'd never kill her, but I was going to certainly, I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have tackled her. So I'm running around. I'm worn out by the end of it. And she's just getting ready to go. She's loving it. I walked back inside. Guess what I did? I left the door open. I was broken. I was a broken man. I was broken. I'm like, this dog owns me. I don't care. This has been hours of this. I'm traumatized. I need Prozac. I need counseling. I'm telling you, man, I'm like, I'm stuck with this dog for life. The door is messed up, but I gave in. Her persistence broke me down. Just broke me down. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, when you pray, when you step out in faith, when you pray believing, you pray and you never stop praying. You don't give up. You pray. And the thing is, you say, well, that's so difficult. Well, it's not difficult because you're stressing about the situation anyway. So you think about it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times a day. Like if you've got to pay a bill or something, this thing plagues your mind, right? If you've got to move town, you've got to find a house, you've got to find a job. These things plague your mind all the time. So when you think of it, instead of worrying, just pray. Father, thank you. Your word has promised me that you will care for me, that you will provide for me, that you will look after me. Thank you, Father, that I know that this is what it looks like, but you can do everything, and please, Lord, save me. Help me, Jesus, please. Then what do? You go on. An hour later, you think about it again. What do you do? Father, please, hear my cry. Lord, hear the cry of my voice. Come on, don't leave me like this, please. You go on. I promise you, before long, things change. Amen? Before long, things change. And you say, well, how long do you do it for? Well, you do it until things change. Then you don't have to do it no more, right? Because it's changed. So that's what it is. And so faith or believing is like 90% tenacity, I'm telling you. It's hanging in. It's knocking the door. It's pounding the door. It's like, Jesus, please help me, right? Please help me, Jesus, please. And he does help you, and he does deliver you from that. And so, you know, this, it's like we said in the beginning, faith is a difficult subject because it's broken churches, the misunderstanding of it and everything, but it's really so simple. It's like, I have a father, my father looks after me, I ask my father, and I hang in until things change. And you know, if things change, if I'm asking wrong and it isn't his plan, I will soon see it, right? If I'm asking amiss, I'll soon see it. But the Bible tells us, it says most times when we suffer, like suffering produces patience and perseverance and all this is required. But most times when we suffer, the Bible tells us it's because we're seeking after our own desires, our own selfish desires. Amen. But then what happens is even when you're praying, even when you're crying out and you're asking God, he directs you. In the prayer, if you are not lining up, he'll move you to where you should be. Rather than getting too stressed about, well, am I asking right or am I? Just keep asking, right? God will direct you. God will show you. So we got that covered. So now, okay, I'm done. So just to recap. Belief comes by hearing. All right? The more you spend time with God, the more you trust him. All right? Faith is nothing more than trusting in God. All right? Just faith requires action. Like the lady with the issue of blood, you have to get up and do something. You might have to get up and do something. And then have tenacity when you pray. Like the persistent widow. Remember my dog. If you forget anything else, remember my dog. Just keep on hitting the back door. Keep on hitting the back door. They will open the door, I promise you. Eventually, you will wear the owner out. And it sounds funny that we would even say that with God, but God is not offended, firstly. And secondly, he tells us that's how we should pray. He tells us, he says, come on. Amen. And I think we would be surprised that instead of me trying to push God and say, hey, he's probably standing next to me and he's saying, come on, Neil, keep pushing. Come on, keep pushing. Don't give up yet. Keep pushing. Knock the door down. Come on, Neil. Keep pushing. Keep hammering that door, Neil. Keep on going. Amen.